RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. However, this week we are focusing on one in particular, one I think, Josh, that I can safely say you and I have been waiting for more than all season since this news about the special guest star was announced, what, mid-summer, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I've been waiting. I think I've been waiting for it in my dreams even before it was announced.
So the special guest star in this week is The Scientist. So why don't you tell us about that?
This is episode 8 of season 2, and as you said, called The Scientist. First time it was on was December 11th of 2013. The story's by Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg. The director of this is Michael Schultz, and the teleplay, would that be like the television script?
Yeah, so the story would be just the, you know, basically what happens, but the teleplay would be the actual script and the dialogue and stuff like that.
Right, and that was by Andrew Kreisberg and Jeff Johns. I'm interested why they separate. They don't usually separate that. We haven't seen much of that, but was the story an original comic story, or did they just do it separately? That was their idea.
I think the showrunners decided, I mean, my guess on this, and I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing the showrunners decided to make their, you know, to do the story themselves, to come up with the plot for this, because it looks like they're doing next week's as well, so because this is a two-parter, right? So they came up with that, and then they, because they wanted to make sure that the episodes adhered to their vision of whatever they wanted to do with these characters. So they probably wrote a specific, you know, I would guess it's like a 5-page story outline for the episode. And then they handed it, you know, and then Andrew took that and got together with Jeff Johns, who is he's the chief creative officer at DC Comics, I believe. Also, he wrote the Huntress episode, the first Huntress episode last season.
I like when they do that, because it really shows to me that they're trying to make this one gigantic story, and they want to make it fit with everything, and they want to make it the best they can, and then they'll fit it into the TV thing. Well, I like that they do it like that.
But, I mean, when you say gigantic, I mean this. I'm telling people at the office that, like, there's one guy that he should be watching this episode or this show, but he just doesn't really have the time to fit it in. And he knows that I'll give him like a 5-minute description of what happened in the episode, and then I act it out. And, you know, I do all the voices and stuff like that.
And now, do you change your voice for Oliver versus the vigilante?
Right, because I do this, you know, and stuff like that. And I do a great Felicity. He really digs that. But he came in yesterday, and I was like, here's a thumb drive. You just go watch this. Like, here's my here's my copy of the episode. Like, I'm not going to tell you about it. You have to watch this episode, you know. And he's like, if you make me want to watch the entire first season this weekend on Netflix, I'm going to be so upset. And I'm like, I can't make you do anything you don't want to do, but you got to watch this episode. And I have been evangelizing this show, you know, pretty hard. And I keep saying each episode is better than the one before it. This episode, I mean, this took gigantic strides beyond the previous week. And State versus Queen was pretty good, and they've had a lot of great episodes this season. I don't know how we're going to survive a 3 or 4 week hiatus here come winter break.
Oh, it's just going to, you know what? It's going to build my anticipation, and it's going to make it that much better. So
the wait until next week is hard enough. And I actually, I think on one of the Twitter feeds for one of the showrunners, it was either Andrew Kreisberg or one of the other guys, Mark Guggenheim might have been, he said, the next episode has at least 3 yell at your TV screen moments. Like, oh my gosh, how can you do that? So, because I'm sure they're going to leave each of the storylines at a devastating crux, and we're going to have to wait.
I think this one, may have had at least three yellow to screen moments.
This had, like, pump my fist in the air moments, I think, and we'll get into that. Why don't you tell everybody what, just in case they, you know, it's been a while since they watched the episode for whatever reason. Why don't you just remind them what happened here?
Well, okay, so a speedy robbery of a centrifuge at the Queen Consolidated Applied Science Division, or the Quikasid, it drew the attention of Oliver and Company, which I kind of like better than Team Arrow.
Yes,
I think Oliver and Company. Yeah. Not to mention the attention of a dashing young CSI scientist named Barry Allen. Barry is quick to offer help to Felicity and Oliver, and Felicity, and Diggle, and Felicity. And so Oliver expeditiously remembers his time on the island trying to save Slade with a miracle drug that's very similar to what they're seeing. And while Roy swiftly investigates the possible drug-related death of a friend of Sin, who you may remember from previous episodes, Oliver races off to stop the super strong madman and is briskly defeated. Now, Felicity and Diggle must rely on Barry Allen to save him in, wait for it, a flash.
You know, I think that is one of the best briefs that you've read on this show so far. That was phenomenal. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thesaurus.com thanks you for the for the synonyms of the word fast. So,
did you use them all?
I didn't use them all. There's actually quite a few more I'll try to throw in as we talk tonight.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, before we get into the episode, I'm sorry. Was there anything else you wanted to add on that? On top of that?
No, we can go swiftly.
Okay, so I just wanted to
I used that one.
I just wanted to touch on just a little bit of news. This is slightly spoilery, so if you don't want to hear this, skip ahead just about a minute. But we have an announcement that the Clock King will be an upcoming villain on the show. Now, after all this other stuff that's going on, it's like, really, the Clock King is what you're gonna give us after all the cool stuff that we've just seen in this episode? But I think if it's I'm not super familiar with his modus operandi and stuff, but it sounds like he could be a really interesting villain. The way they do it in a more realistic style here for the Arrow show.
So I was looking at was the casting notice for the actor to play the Clock King.
Okay.
They want somebody in their 40s or 50s to play the character.
Yeah.
And hey, you know, I'm thinking I could probably fit in that age range there. I could make the character interesting.
I'm just wondering if they're going to cast somebody else from Spartacus. They seem to be pulling a lot of folks from that show.
Okay. Well, I wasn't on Spartacus. Mm. So, yeah. I might be down on the list a little bit, but I'll throw it out there just in case.
Well, just if, you know, it's time is of the essence to get your resume in. So, you know, hurry up.
All right, Clock King.
All right. So, well, let's get into talking about this episode. And the first thing I want to talk about, I'm sure that's on everybody's mind, is Barry Allen, played by Grant Gustin, who, when I heard about this actor, it's like I don't watch these kind of shows with a lot of these young actors and stuff. I didn't know him. I know he's done some previous work on television. But looking at the pictures, you know, I'm like, wow, man, he looks really young. And then watching the episode, I was like, man, he looks really young. And of course, they made a lot of jokes about that, which I think was cool. First impressions from you, Josh?
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind him being so young. You know, it to me it felt more like a Wally West type Flash.
That's
than
what
a Barry
I was gonna
Allen
say.
Type
yeah.
Flash.
That's what I was going to say, because Barry's, to me, I mean, Barry's, you know, Ollie's age or maybe even a little bit older.
Uh-huh.
And you're right, Wally West is supposed to be this kind of younger Flash. So maybe they're doing that. They're mixing it up that way.
Yeah, well, I was going to say I like it because he's not Oliver's age. I like it because it's different. I don't, you know, I can't count on this very much, but I don't want another, you know, Pretty People CW show necessarily that's just like Arrow. I mean, I love Arrow and I want more of it, but I want this to be a different good, you know, not the same good. So,
well, you're talking about like the Flash spinoff that they've been talking about then, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right, because they said that they initially were just going to use Grant's appearance on at least these two episodes, and there's supposedly a third episode later in the season that he will be back on, but we don't have much details to that. But they were going to use these as sort of the pilot for a Flash television series that they want to do next year, also on CW, which I think is cool. But then they announced recently that CW actually said, nope, we're going to give you the money. You go ahead and use these to just have for Arrow, and then you can actually do a Flash television pilot to do, you know, for a new show, which how cool would this be? I mean, I've been thinking about this for the past few days since we saw the episode Wednesday night. I know Wednesday night is the Melly Wednesdays, right? You've got, Arrow and then what is it? Tomorrow People with mm-hmm. Stephen Amell's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I can't guarantee that Tomorrow People will make it to a second season. I don't watch it, so I really don't know much about it, but how about this? 8 o'clock Arrow, 9 o'clock The Flash. I mean, that's like a little Brave and Bold action right there.
I can see them. I can see them doing that just for promotion, and then maybe even building an audience like that, and then moving it to another night so they have a if it's successful.
No,
you
don't
know,
change
then,
nights. This is a perfect night for it.
Oh well, I agree with you. I agree. I hope they don't. That's kind of a good combination there. You know, same genre. And I haven't been watching Tomorrow People either, so I don't know how it's doing. But I mean, I would love for them to be back to back. That'd be perfect for me. So, but if it's successful, they might use it as a like a tent pole for another night.
As long as it's not Friday, right? Because, you know, Friday nights, you put a show on Friday nights and that kills it. Except for maybe Fringe. Fringe seemed to do pretty good when it was on Friday nights. But, you know, there's so many shows that got moved to Friday night and they just slowly fade away.
We don't have to spend too much time talking about this, but I actually don't watch many shows on the night they're actually on anymore. Is Thursday night still one of those crowded nights?
That is, you know what? I record stuff when it comes on, but yeah, you're right. You know, I don't watch a lot of stuff same day and time. I mean, it is on demand for me as well. And hopefully that's the way a lot of people watch, but, you know, I'm sure there's still a lot of people that don't. I mean, you hear talk in the ratings about, you know, they're not really counting those rollover numbers or the web numbers, or they're starting to add them in now. So, you know, all the original numbers are, those are the people watching it on the night. You know, so at the time. So I don't know. But all I know is that after seeing the episode and seeing the way Grant plays Barry Allen and just the interaction between Barry and Oliver and between Barry and Felicity and just, you know, some little in-jokes they put in, you know, just Barry being late, perpetually late. I mean, late to, I mean, horribly late, really, really bad. I am really looking forward to seeing more of this character on Arrow because I want to see what they can do with him. And I'm interested to see what they will do with a pilot for this. The Flash is I have enjoyed The Flash in many different television series. I didn't really watch him. I know there was a Flash character in Smallville, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't Bart. Flash.
It was Bart. Allen.
Impulse, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they, I don't know if they ever called him by name or, I can't remember if they did or not, but.
Oh, call him by
that's
his code name? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I watched the original 1990s Flash series with John Wesley Shipp, which I thought was awesome at the time, and I've gone back and corrected myself, and it was not awesome. It was.
It's nostalgically awesome.
It is nostalgically awesome, but it's pretty bad.
It is.
But the Mark Hamill episodes as the Trickster were pretty cool, and I think it only got like 13 or 16 episodes total anyway.
Yeah, it was very short. I thought it, at least for the time. Not sure it would work now, especially in this universe that they've built. But the Flash costume. It looked pretty cool. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, a guy in red spandex, you know, it was much more defined, but
yeah, they had the musculature underneath it and stuff like that to make him a little more beefy, sort of like, kind of like a Batman, suit, you know, with the extra muscles and things like
right.
that.
Right. And well, the reason I mention that is because I kind of worry about that. You know, Arrow with Green Arrow, it's really not that hard to make, a suit that looks like a good Green Arrow suit. And still not being too cheesy, you know, for a superhero universe. But Flash is a little different. I mean, Flash is your true comic book uniform there. So
he's
so
a red unitard with wings on his head.
so yep, that's it.
Yeah.
So I mean, I have a feeling they really won't probably go much toward that, but. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see where he goes. I like you said, I like the actual character development that they got for him. They've already got a bit of a backstory and
they put a ton of backstory in.
Yeah, yeah. Mannerisms for him that are not, you know, generic, like just some generic guest star that's on Arrow he's got a good strong personality, good strong character that I think that could be a good lead for his own show. So looking forward to that.
So, since you, I previously talking on the show here with you, I know that you are a huge fan of the Flash in the comics, probably more so than Green Arrow. So just in terms of things they talked about in terms of origin story, backstory, things that relate to the characterization of the Flash as you know him from the comic books, how do you feel they portrayed that in the TV episode here, The Scientist?
You know, I think they I think really pretty close to a lot of comic book storylines that they've had. I like the idea of why he's investigating things, why he's done research as he's grown older because of his you know, history from his mother's death when he was a, did he say 10 or 11, something like that?
I want to say you said like 11. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, the one thing I was a little, I don't know what the word is. Not curious, but, caught me a little off guard, I guess, because this Arrow universe has been, you know, very based on realism, and they talked about his death and that whole experience with the blur they saw, that, you know, that he says is whatever killed his mother and not his father. So I'm wondering how they're going to use that in this kind of realistic universe and where that came from. But, you know, I'm still wondering how he's going to get his speed. So, I don't know. I'm really curious to see where they go with it. I'm intrigued, I guess, all of those things.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a good origin compared to the comic.
The whole thing with the blur that they talked about and then seeing, the character that they're calling the Acolyte on this episode, who has super strength, and the potential of what's going to happen to Barry Allen, like you said, to however he's going to get his superpowers and how that's going to be portrayed. It's as if they have opened up this little portal to show you that, wow, there is a lot more to the world of Arrow than we previously thought, because Barry's been investigating all sorts of weird phenomena, assuming, you know, that it's, you know, people with superpowers, you know, whether it's people that take a miracle drug or have some other kind of mutation or something. Somehow Barry's tuned into that, and Starling City has, to this point, I guess, avoided having those sort of people in it. And I was thinking back to, you know, things that we've talked about on the show that the showrunners have said that they were not going to have superpowers in the show. And I'm thinking that probably I couldn't find like the exact quote, but I think what they were saying is they weren't going to show superpowers on the show. Not that there weren't superpowers in the universe, they were just not going to portray it. And that was a first season decision, I think. But now they've done this because if you're going to have a character that's the Flash, he's got to fight people, or the villains and the rogues gallery and everybody that deals with him have to be similarly built, right? You can't have him just fighting criminal mob bosses and stuff like that, because that's not going to be interesting, because it's what challenge is there in that for him as a character. So they had to kind of start opening this up. But I mean, they've now opened, hopefully not, but it's almost like a Pandora's box of the chance for these abilities. When he was telling the story about how his mom died, and for people out there who don't read the comics, his mom has not always been dead in the comic book. She was alive for a long time. It wasn't until, I want to say like 2011, in the Flash Rebirth series, potentially Flashpoint, one of those two. It was Flash Rebirth, I guess.
Rebirth was when his mother was murdered.
Okay, so all of a sudden he finds himself kind of in an alternate universe where his mom's dead. Like, he just, everything was normal, and then everything still looked the same except his mom was dead. And it turns out that one of his major villains, called Reverse Flash, which is not a totally, you know, original name, I guess. If Flash wears a red suit with yellow stripes, Reverse Flash wears a yellow suit with red stripes. Professor Zoom, who is the character that is Reverse Flash, went back in time and murdered Barry's mom because he figured that's the best way for him to destroy the Flash, right? He can't face him one-to-one. And Professor Zoom is, by the way, is also from the 30th century. He's from the Flash's future. So he's a time traveler to begin with. And I think that the fact that they have this, quote, blur, or quote, tornado, I was hoping they were going to say it was a red tornado, because that would have set fans off as well. Red Tornado being another DC superhero character built on an android body designed by Professor Ivo. So just think of all those kind of connections that we could have built there. But I just thought that them putting this origin of his mom being dead and this blur happening, and all of a sudden he was 20 blocks away. He thought he saw a shape or a person or whatever in the blur. Wow. I mean, they've already opened up to have, you know, Professor Zoom / Reverse Flash be a villain that he confronts, you know, at some point in his series, if not, you know, in the pilot, which, wow, that gave me chills when I heard them talking about that.
Well, and I would imagine that in the Flash series, they're going to really expand on that in the first season and show you much more of what happened and tell you more of the backstory. But I was surprised that they gave you that much in this episode of Arrow.
They've said, they always give you more than you're expecting and quicker than you expect it. Right.
Yeah. It also surprised me that it was so much like the comic book. I mean, it's almost exactly like the comic book for what we know now so far, anyway.
Right. Right. I mean, in really broad strokes, it's like the comic book. I mean, but I think you could say Arrow is very much like, you know, one of the comic books, because Flash is like one of the comic books. It's not like the original. Yeah. You know, when we see the origin of the Flash, whatever turns Barry into the Flash, we can judge, you know, how close is it to the origin that was originally told when he was created, or, you know, any subsequent origins, I guess. You know, Arrow is one of Oliver Queen's origins, though there have been, you know, several, depending on what comic story you read. So,
right. And they've used a little bit of probably all of them so far in the season and a half that it's been on. So,
yeah. All right. Anything else you want to talk about with Barry? I'm sure we'll be bringing him up again later, but anything specific while we're on that topic?
No, I think that we'll move on to some of the other things, but every once in a while I might pop in there with something, because I really was impressed with the way they introduced him from the very first seconds of the show when the lightning flashed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I guess we can mention that. So they had – I thought that they were – tricking us and telling us, you know, they weren't going to, they had been saying they aren't going to, you know, show the Flash in these two episodes, or, you know, if we do get him, I guess it might be at the very end of the next episode, right before the winter break. But then they've got this lightning storm going through Central City. Barry Allen is standing next to a giant pile of chemicals that he is saying, look at how dangerous these are, as there's lightning going off. And I'm like, they are not. Oh, my gosh. They are going to do his origin right here. But they didn't.
I thought maybe it was just foreshadowing and he'd be in that lab later on. But I just – man, that was
well, the origin,
they were just saying, here it is. Here it is. And we're going to do it.
they were serving it like, you know, one of those, you know, they were throwing the ball up in the air and then they'd stopped. they've got to do something with the particle accelerator. I mean, if that doesn't factor into the origin of the Flash, I'm going to feel really cheated because they've been mentioning it for seven or eight episodes now.
I think every episode this season they've said something in the background or somewhere.
I want to say there was one episode that they did not, but if they didn't, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. talked about it that week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The other thing I wanted to point out that I thought this was kind of interesting. So he talks – Barry was talking to Felicity, you know, when they were kind of doing their small talk, which I thought it was – It was interesting to see Felicity in more of a power position in a conversation than she is with other characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you've got, like, you know, Felicity early in the episode with that awkward moment with Moira. You know, I'm not supposed to bring up your time in prison. And Diggle's like, just like that, right? And but then when she's talking to Barry, like, she seems totally in control, even with her double entendre, which I think just went right over his head, the poor little boy. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, something about an insertion or something like
that. It was how far his – if he switched to a carbon fiber arrow, they could penetrate much better.
Penetration, that's right.
And she said, how do you know his penetration is lacking or whatever? It's just – oh, Felicity.
Yeah, that's she felt really comfortable around him, so she didn't fumble on her words like she does with a lot of people.
Yeah,
it was good. The interaction between them was so good. I almost thought there was going to be some sort of ongoing relationship with the two of them, but surely they'll give him his own love interest. But
yeah, I mean, oh yeah, especially if he gets his own show, I'm sure that there you know won't be anything like crossing over between the shows, because I'd hate to lose Felicity to the Flash show.
No. Couldn't do that.
But, you know, she was talking to him about going to the party, and he's like, well, you know, I really don't dance. But then he comes to the party, and he does, you know, get out there, even though he says, you know, what is it like? I'll just hold your hand and sway. But I think if you look closely, you might agree with me on this, that I'm pretty sure it was a Flash dance. Yeah. Just a little.
Oh, good. I can't believe I missed that one. Oh, nice.
So, all right. So I think we're done talking about Barry for just a little bit.
All right, we'll stop talking about Barry. Let's talk about the island a little bit, because that was pretty important in this episode. Brief but important.
I think everything tied so well together in this episode. I mean, they did a really great job on this, and maybe it's because they had basically three writers on it. You know, they worked really hard to make sure that this was a central episode, a Central City episode to the season. And you know, with the conclusion next week. So some things that we found out about the island. So yeah, like you said, not a lot of time was spent on the island. It was basically, Slade and Shadow and Sarah and Oliver. Huh, one of these names doesn't belong. Walking to the submarine, which I had a couple of friends ask me, it's like, how did the submarine get in there? And I've said, they kind of explained it in the episode. You know, they said there was probably like some fissure that it came in underneath the island, which if I recall my Jules Verne, I believe that's how Nemo got into the mysterious island as well. There was like a lagoon inside that. So they basically have to trek to the submarine using the Hosen as the with the. I don't understand how they were translating the coordinates on the Hosen to a compass that was just telling them north and south, you know, stuff. But I'm not.
If it was easy, everyone would do it. So we don't need to understand. That's okay.
Okay, I'm not an wilderness explorer. I don't have a badge or anything. So,
you don't have your Hosen badge.
I do not have my Hosen badge. And Shadow was kind of out in front. She was like a leader Hosen, you know. With the, that one just came to me too. So they get to the submarine so they can find this miracle drug that Sarah says is there that will save Slade's life. And he's really looking worse for wear. It's like he's not going to make it. And so they find the serum and give it to him. But, you know, they say that they don't have like part of it. I think what was it like the it had to be delivered with an anesthetic, I believe.
A sedative.
A sedative. Give him a sedative. And they don't have that. So, of course, Slade seems to have a seizure and starts to bleed out of the eyes, just like everybody else has done previously in the present day when Brother Blood is giving them the serum, which we now understand is the same serum.
Yeah. I hear on TV that if that starts to happen, you should contact your doctor immediately.
You definitely should contact your doctor if you start to bleed out of your eyes. Now, the one thing I did notice, everybody has bled out of their eyes, including Brother Cyrus, who mm-hmm. was able to survive the injection. Okay.
Right.
So there is hope for Slade, and considering Manu Bennett's a regular on the show. I mean, not that they wouldn't kill him off, because I think he does have to... I've been burned by making, you know, definitive statements like this before. I think that he will have to get killed off at some point.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
At some point, I think he has to.
Right, because...
Even if it's not when we expect, I think he has to eventually.
Right,
but
because when Oliver leaves the island, he leaves the Deathstroke mask, you know, has an arrow through the eye hole and is, you know, on a post or something like that, right? Like kind of an effigy.
Right.
So here's, after watching this episode a couple times, here's all the little tidbits I was able to pull away from the dialogue, and I just want to see what your take on this is. First off, we find out in the present day Oliver, we got to find a way to refer to this that is a little more clear, I think. I feel like it gets confusing when we start talking about the two different Olivers talking. I don't know. If anyone has an idea, present-day Oliver, so Island Oliver.
GQ Oliver and, like, hippie hair Oliver or something like that.
So Oliver mentions that Ivo is dead. So at some point between the second year on the island and I'm guessing when he gets off the island in the fifth year, Ivo dies. Now, I will even go further and say Ivo's going to die at some point this season because his boat gets blowed up real good. And if you don't believe me on that, go back and watch the first episode of the season again. Within the first 5 minutes, you see the boat sunk in the lagoon, the Amazo. It's not identified as the Amazo because you can't see what the back of the boat says, but there's definitely a boat that's broken in half that's in the lagoon area where we first saw it. So that's my thought. You concur with that one?
I'm going to go with you on this season. So dead Ivo in season two.
Okay. The second thing is present-day Oliver says he has fought someone like this before, referring to this very strong individual that steals a couple-ton centrifuge with, you know, basically his two hands.
Who we're assuming is Brother Cyrus.
We're assuming that is Brother Cyrus. I'm thinking it is because... when we didn't see Brother Cyrus taking off the mask, but he was talking to Brother Blood at the, you know, back at the
right
wherever Brother Blood's office is. So
his office.
He's got all that.
He got like a little cubicle and.
Well, we had like the
plotting, finding, you know, centrifuges in the city and.
I don't know. Well, there were some scenes previous episodes where he does have an actual office. I mean, I guess, you know, his alderman office, but then there's his underground office, his his den or whatever, I guess. I don't know.
That's where you take the Schwingline stapler from Brother Cyrus. They told me I could keep my stapler. But he also talked to Oliver. Remember, he said that Brother Blood set me free. Or did he? He didn't say Brother Blood, did he? He just said it set me free.
He said my brother, I believe.
Oh yeah. My brother made me strong. No, he said, I don't know what he said, but he was talking to Oliver about it too. So I'm assuming that's got to be right. Cyrus.
Right. But Oliver had said he had fought someone like this before and defeated them. Now, my first assumption was, oh yeah, they're going to give Slade the medication and he's going to go kind of nuts and become Deathstroke, who we know is historically a villain in the DC universe, or at least allies himself with against the superheroes more often than not, at least historically, originally. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, they're going to do that. But then when I listened to it again, and I wish I should have written the line down here, it wasn't specific like, I had fought. It was like I fought someone like him before. It was not specific enough that, okay, he may not mean Slade, because of course Ivo and his crew bust in at the end, and so there's a bunch of that stuff around. So the next thought is, well, okay, Ivo makes some of his guys super soldiers and Oliver's got to fight them, and maybe Slade kind of sits that battle out because he is incubating or whatever happens to make him super strong, and then he helps Oliver out and helps defeat him. But something else might happen to Slade. So, because I'm hoping Oliver doesn't have to kill Slade. That's what, I mean, we've come to know this character a lot, and he's been very instrumental in Oliver's growth on the island, and to basically have to turn on and kill your mentor seems not like where they are going. But, again, they surprise me all the time.
Well, yeah, but look how much the memory of this stuff affected Oliver in present day Oliver, and how serious. I mean, he didn't even tell Diggle about it. He would just give that dramatic walk away every time Diggle asked about it.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm going halfway with you on this one.
Okay.
I think Slade's gonna get strong. He's gonna come back. I don't think he's dead yet. I don't know that he'll go crazy from it yet. I think they'll keep him around for a while, and maybe eventually he's gonna have to face Oliver, I think. And I think Oliver is gonna have to kill him. But not this season. I don't think that's gonna happen this season.
Agreed. I agree with that. If Slade does die at some point, it's not gonna happen this season. Conveniently, Oliver seems to not tell Diggle or the audience anything until like it happens on the island, which is interesting, So I just think, what are we going to be finding out that he had to do on the island in his fourth year, in fourth season? It's like, how much more complex are we going to get with this character? I'm sure way complex, because you're like, think about all the stuff he's done on the island so far, and he's only a year and a half into his island time. He's still got 3.5 years left.
And still lots of training. I mean, he's still really not an accomplished fighter or even an archer yet at this point.
Right.
On the island. I mean, he's been practicing.
Yeah, he doesn't speak Russian yet, which means he has, he's got to go back and free the prisoner on the boat that turns out to be his friend that he met in Moscow.
And then he's got to teach him Russian.
Right.
So that's,
and get the
that's
tattoo.
At least a few days, right?
Yeah, exactly. get the tattoo. So maybe, he may be a mentor in an upcoming season then. It's like, oh.
Ooh. Oh, that'd be kind of cool. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Which would give room, give room for them to move Slade off the show or do something different with him.
Or have him become kind of a villain, a nemesis. I can see a lot of possibilities for Oliver, for Slade, even for Sarah, because that she's got to, go back to her group and Ra's al Ghul, or whoever she trained under, I guess.
Right.
But
the only one that I'm not really sure about, I'm not really seeing where they're taking her, is Shadow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, she, I think at this point she sees the, that Oliver is not who she thought he was, which mm-hmm. is interesting because Oliver has talked about this. He carries this picture of this woman that he says is his girlfriend, Laurel, and he and but then he and Shadow have gotten involved, you know, and I hadn't really thought about it that much because, of course, Oliver's not really involved with Laurel now. But, of course, at that point, he was. But he was also cheating on Laurel with her sister. And then he comes to the island, talks about Laurel to Shadow, and then he gets involved with Shadow, which seems to be totally fine with her until she realizes, wait, who's this other girl? And he's like, oh, she was with me on the boat. Well, what about your girlfriend? It's like, yeah, that's a little complicated.
And at that they point, they need to get away from that stuff on the island. I don't.
There's no room for like CW intrigue on the island.
Just I don't want the love story part of it. I don't know. It doesn't fit. Doesn't fit on the island for me. I don't know.
It's not working great. But I mean, just like I guess I don't understand. It was okay for Shadow to be the second girl, but not the third girl, I guess. I don't know.
Well, think that what that does to your self-esteem.
Well, he'll just sleep with anyone.
So. You're my number three, baby.
Oh, my gosh. But
yeah, well, we'll see. It also seemed like Shadow and Slade were getting pretty close there, too. So
right. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, now that I'm dying, I need to tell you that I love you. Wow. Great timing, dude. I mean, come on. But I have a question for you. I've gotten into this discussion on a number of occasions with another friend of mine, Sarah. So, island time, the boat goes, Oliver and Sarah are on the boat, boat goes down, Sarah appears to die, right? We think she's dead. Oliver lives a year on the island, gets caught, brought onto this boat, and meets Sarah. And that's the first time he's seen her in a year. From Sarah's standpoint, we know she was rescued right after the boat crash in by Ivo and his crew. And then we jump forward a year, and we don't know what happened to her. In that time, in the year that Oliver was training with Shadow's dad, I've totally forgotten his name now.
Oh my gosh, me too.
It's been a whole season.
Yao Fei,
thank you. In time he was training with Yao Fei and then Shadow and Slade, was Sarah with the League of Assassins at that point, or has she been on the boat for that year working with the crew and with Ivo as kind of like an assistant or something? What do you think?
I think Ivo has something to do with the League of Assassins.
Oh, okay.
I think that maybe there's some sort of relationship there. And so I think Sarah's kind of done both. I think she was with, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I've seen anything to indicate that other than just, I just kind of assumed, well, look, she got real tough and mean. I guess we haven't really seen her fighting skills on the island yet.
Right.
Have
I
we?
Mean, yeah, other than her like threatening people with a knife and stuff, and like yeah. you said, just kind of being tough, we don't know. Now, my assumption was kind of that she had gone off with the League of Assassins, but then kind of thinking back to it and like just stuff in this episode, because she wasn't, you know, she doesn't seem to have really any skills. I'm thinking, well, maybe she was just spending her time on the boat and, you know, she would have to toughen up around those mercenary guys on the boat.
For sure, and I think Ivo would allow that because I mean he was there kind of protecting her or not protecting her necessarily, but making sure they didn't just have their way with her. Right. So, but what would the boat just be doing hanging off the island for a year?
Well, it was not hanging off the island because there's an island chain, right? So he was looking around on numerous islands.
Oh, okay. So they weren't even sure they had the right island.
Yeah, that was why he didn't know it was this island, and then I guess they followed Oliver to the sub. It's like they couldn't locate the sub except for now they located the sub. It's if you go back and listen to some of the previous ones, you know, they we need the coordinates and stuff like this, and how did they track down the Team Arrow to the sub in the island at the end? I don't know. You know, maybe Sarah is a plant. Maybe, you know, maybe she's got some kind of tracker, or she was leaving clues. We're going to find out that she was leaving clues for Ivo to follow them to the sub. Because remember, Oliver just kind of grabbed her, and it's like, why do you even trust her enough to bring her with you, you know, to meet with your friends? Because, you know, she's been working with Ivo presumably now for a year. So the loyalty is not necessarily there with Oliver anymore.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think it would be either. But, I don't know. Those questions are, I'm not even sure they're going to get to those. I think some of them, they're just going to have to make assumptions of how they got to that point. But
I think there'll be a yell at your TV moment. There'll be a yell at your TV moment for the island next week, and at least one in the present day, if not more than
one
in the present
day. I'd say at least two. One for Oliver and one for Barry.
And we're going to find out that Roy is actually Tommy's son. So Merlin's grandson. That's my prediction right now. So we'll see if that happens. So
that's not good.
No. So that'd just be weird. That's a little
not
awkward
good for their relationship.
Yeah. All right. Well, since I brought up Merlin, let's talk about him for a second.
All right.
He was. Again, it's like they're pulling out stuff that I'm not expecting them to do here, which is great. As a fan of comic books, this episode just had so many different shout-outs for the fanboy in me. It really was nice. But so Merlin's trying to make a power play. He really – and I don't know if he's really thinking through what he's asking Moira. It's like, you need to tell Thea, and what's going to happen? He thinks Thea's going to then run to him and go, oh, my God, you're really my dad? No. I mean, she might get angry at her mom again, but it seems like she and her mom have enough water under the bridge now that she'll be like, oh, yeah, well, he's my dad, but he killed the guy that I thought was my dad, right? Because that's what Moira says. She really, Thea really loved Robert, you know, and because she thought he was his dad, right? Or her dad. So, I mean, do you have any other ideas as to what Merlin's end game is for this potentially?
No, I don't. I think, I mean, maybe just a connection back into the world, having Thea. But okay, I'm a fan of John Barrowman, I think he's doing a great job. But right now, these scenes with John Barrowman and Moira, with, you know, Merlin and Moira, I'm not really digging them. I don't think they fit into the storyline yet. And maybe they have a bigger – I'm sure they have a bigger idea. But here's what I picture. Okay, here I'm going to recreate a scene for you as Moira's standing there, and Malcolm is waiting in the shadows and steps in, you know, after he's taken out the guards and stuff. Yeah. Okay, here, I'm going to recreate the scene.
Hoy vas a celebrar una fiesta. No encuentro mi invitación. ¿Dónde se encuentra? Tengo que on oborde Starling City Cemetery.
it's like a Mexican soap opera. I mean, just back and forth between the two of them with the, you know, with the icy comments towards each other, you know. And I know that's where you wish I was right now, lying beside my son. Am I supposed to feel sorry for you, Malcolm? You killed Tommy.
They
did that twice.
It is a cross between kind of a soap opera and sort of Shakespeare. You know, they've elevated to a Shakespearean level of soap opera, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm not bad-mouthing it. I love this episode. I mean, it was a fantastic episode. And I don't mind that Malcolm is back. I can handle that, especially because he was, you know, part of the League of Assassins and all that. But and I really like that Moira stepped
up. Oh wait,
sorry,
hang on 1 second. The League of Assassins. Sorry, that's going to be a thing now, I think.
I like that thing. I really, really like that Moira, instead of, you know, being the timid little victim like it seemed that she had been, you know, this season, she's like, okay, wait a minute. Wait. You want my daughter? No. And I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure you don't get her. I mean, how did she contact Ra's al Ghul? Did she just, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Did you say Manda Parbat? Oh, let me just Google that.
Yeah, Manda Parbat.
Let me look up his number.
She just went to at head of the demon on Twitter. And just like, hey, just thought I'd let you know at Malcolm Merlin, you know, is back. And he's like, OMG. So I think that's great that two things. I think it's great that Malcolm is the seed of his own undoing, right? Because he's just sitting there, he's monologuing with her, right? They're doing the scenery chewing moment, kind of like you just illustrated for us, which was very, very nicely done, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm sure my Spanish was right on. Sure.
I don't speak it.
I have more. I did the whole scene in Spanish. If you.
You know what? Maybe we should post that. After we post the episode, we'll put it up on the Facebook page so people can enjoy that.
And tell me what's not accurate so I can fix that.
Okay. All right. But, you know, so he was monologuing and she, you know, picked up on this clue and then just basically, oh, okay. Oh, psych. You know, I called your boss and you know what? He's pissed. It's like, you what? And of course, you know, Merlin then's like, well, that's fine. And he kind of like smirks. He smirked when he came in, and then he did the scene, and then he was like, ah, and gave this kind of smirk again and left. But it's like, I just wanted to see another angle from him turning around where he's like, and he just turns white as a ghost. He's like, oh, crap.
Oh, oops.
So maybe he'll die again at the end of this season and stay dead.
That's going to be their thing every season at the end. He just
Merlin,
they find different Merlin, ways to kill Merlin.
Yeah, Merlin has to die every season.
Oh my gosh, they killed Merlin.
which would be bad if Thea turns out to be a Merlin.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know how comic book villains are. Can't keep them down. So.
You know, is Deadshot really dead? You know, I mean, is Merlin... I don't know. But speaking of death... I know one person that can't die, and please tell me they can't die. Oliver is not going to die, right? Are they going to just do flashbacks for the rest of the season?
Yeah, it'll just be they're going to drag it on like when Superman died. They'll have a whole season of just like his funeral.
Oh God, no, no,
no. Of course he's not dead, but I would like to know what was he stabbed with.
Okay, so I went through a whole range of theories for this, and I'd like to explore my thought process with you a little bit. First time, I was watching the show live, and I must have been distracted by somebody or something, because I didn't remember seeing the things in his leg until Felicity and Diggle showed up, right? So I saw the Acolyte throw him through, oh my God, just... punch him up into the ceiling and then throw him through the
on the way down from the ceiling.
Oh, jeez. that was brutal. I mean, again, amazing stunts. And while we're talking about that, I just love that he shot two arrows to pin the guy's feet to the floor.
Oh, that was...
Oh, it's cool. Just, you know, well, how do you stop a guy like that? Well, you shoot his feet into the floor, into the concrete, and then he can't move. So, okay. But so anyway, going back to the things in his leg, I didn't see them in there prior to Felicity and Diggle showing up. So I'm thinking, is it something that Oliver, like he crashed and then we didn't see it, but you know, he found something and he was able to stab himself in the legs with like medicine, right? Because
you thought Oliver did it.
I thought Oliver did it because they're in this Argus facility that is filled with what? Food, water, and medicine. That was the things they talked about. Okay. Then I was like, oh no, wait a second. Maybe the Acolyte stabbed him with something, like saw something and stabbed it in him. And I'm like, ooh, that would be bad because he would know that it could be something bad. Okay, so then on second viewing of the episode, I realized that Oliver, when he flew past the barrels and hit the table, some of these vials flew off the table as well and landed on the ground. And that's when he got stuck with them, when he was thrown, so that they were there from the moment of impact, basically. So it could be almost anything, right? But my thought is that because they came, the acolyte came to get ketamine, which is a sedative, that is probably what it is. So he's gotten two vials of a heavy duty sedative in his system, which may end up saving his life from this beating, because it's going to put him into some kind of, you know, self-induced coma, I guess, basically, to allow, you know, I don't know. Again, I don't know what Barry is going to be able to do, why they brought him back. He seems to know a bunch of stuff, but, you know, he's a CSI guy, not a, you know, bioengineer or something like that. So
he's a scientist.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he does have that background, I guess, but I don't know.
Obviously, she thinks he knows enough, or at least is smart enough to figure out what they need to do.
I guess maybe if he can figure out what the chemical is, because they've got it, like he can analyze it and figure out what the chemical is and then tell them, you know, oh, he's basically doped up and we need to give him this to counteract it or whatever. So maybe that's what's going to – he's going to go over to the chemical shelf and, oh, spill stuff on him.
Just not during a lightning storm.
Right. So that's my thought. I don't know if you have any better ideas or other ideas.
Nothing better. And
I
guess
don't mean to say better. Like mine is great, but
well, the ketamine thing I hadn't even thought about. I guess that could be it. I don't know what else it could be. I mean, actually, my first thought, because you know they've been sticking people with the stuff. My first thought was, wait, whoa, it's this Mirakuro serum or whatever, yeah. You know, but and it hadn't actually been injected. It just like landed in his leg or something, but not, you know, injected into his body. But I don't think it's that. I mean,
I don't think Argus would have that stuff sitting around in there.
Right. No, I don't either. And even
I did think,
yeah,
that
I don't
initially.
Even think it was the same color even. I think it was
right. This stuff looks kind of like orangey pink or something.
Yeah, it was like Pepto-Bismol is what it looked like, but maybe that's what it was. it's really just going to, you know, help him coat, soothe, really. No, so I think I'm almost thinking that now that you said that, I really actually like your explanation. I think it is probably some sort of a sedative that will knock him out, and they'll have to figure out how to wake him up, but with the beating that he took, maybe it will end up being okay. He said something in the preview for the next episode.
He's been compromised.
Compromised, yeah. So I'm wondering if that has anything to do with whatever it was he was injected with. So
I think it might be more talking about that his identity's been compromised in some way. Because, of course, they brought yet another person back to the Arrow Cave. Oh, and by the way, we got to see the Arrow Cycle in this episode. That looked like, yes, a new motorcycle. It doesn't look like the one he's driven previously, because I think he stole the previous ones.
Well, I was thinking it didn't last either, didn't it? I mean, he jumped off of it and it just.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he just. Yeah, maybe he. So, well, hopefully, he stole it then.
Yeah. He's rich. He'll just buy another one.
Yeah. Yeah, again, great stunts with that. But yeah, I think that, you know, they've invited Barry into the now that she tranked him before she brought him in. So
yeah,
you know,
she called him, you know, on the phone, like the way they did Diggle a couple weeks back. You know, when you want somebody, you don't just give them a ring on their cell phone. You go ahead and shoot them with a dart.
And then he wakes up in the cave. So, I mean, how about that for a fanboy moment? He's a huge fan of the vigilante, and he gets to, you know, help him out here.
And I like how they panned up from his boots up his leg to his uniform until they got to his head, which was uncovered. So yeah. That was a good scene.
Now, in the last couple of minutes here, you mentioned seeing the preview for the next episode. We don't often do this, but because this is a cliffhanger episode, I think we did this with the Canary episode earlier in the season. We kind of talked about like what was coming next, what we thought was coming next. The next episode is called Three Ghosts. And I wanted to get your thoughts about what that title, right? We haven't seen the episode yet. We've only seen a little teaser, which is really just a teaser, right? There was hardly, I mean, there's really nothing in it that I can draw from. What do you think the three ghosts refers to?
I was trying to think who the three ghosts would be. And I'm hoping, you know, that this isn't their special Christmas episode because it's so close to Christmas.
That's but, interesting you say that, because that is really what I'm thinking. It's like, oh, that's interesting, because if he is in some kind of stupor, right, drugged by whatever this is, you know, you will be visited by three ghosts, past, present, and future. That's kind of my thought. It's like he will be visited by a ghost of his past. Probably
he's
somebody.
Not going to be like walking around his own life with a ghost.
I don't think it'll be that literal.
No,
but
okay,
you
good.
Know, in his own brain, like I think he will. I think he may do that. Like I'm thinking, Slade or Shadow from his past.
Okay.
I'm thinking possibly Sarah or Laurel from his present, and then like if they do something with a future ghost, I have no idea. Maybe Tommy.
Vertigo.
Vertigo. Yeah.
Well, here's okay. All right. So who are you saying then? You say let's say three. I'll say three. I have three that I think. And what do you think?
Okay. So, well, because there was a shot of her in the trailer, I'm going to say Shadow.
Okay.
I'll go with Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh boy. I'm going to say Tommy then. I'll say Tommy.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say Slade, because they think he just died.
Okay.
I'm going to say Sarah. I think she'll reveal herself to possibly Laurel. I guess I'll say Merlin, because Malcolm Merlin.
Yeah. Yep.
Because he thinks he's dead too. So
everyone thinks he's dead, but he will reveal. Yes.
Yeah. So and I don't know if they'll have to necessarily reveal, but those are three people that were assumed to be dead in the storyline. So those are my
reasoning. I like your reasoning. That's really cool. Well, we got to wait, a week here. Well, a little less than a week now, but until we can find that out. I'm sure there's going to be all sorts of teases. I'm hoping like Wednesday afternoon they reveal like a photo of Flash's uniform or something like that.
Ooh, that'd be kind of cool. Well, and real quick here, if you don't mind spoiler-ish, they're not real spoilers, but Stephen Amell has never been more excited on Facebook about this upcoming episode. So just watch it every day. Just watch his Facebook page every day. He posts videos and comments and answers questions, and he just ain't got enough of this next episode. So if you want to just keep up with the next one, just keep watching his Facebook page.
And that's what, facebook.com/Stephen Amell?
Yeah, I think so. It should be pretty easy to find. I think that's what it is, though.
Okay. Well, I would like to point out a couple of the references that we didn't discuss during the show here proper. Mm-hmm. The centrifuge that gets stolen is a Kord, K-O-R-D, TBX-900. Kord being a name revisited, I believe that was used in an episode in season one. It probably most likely relates to Ted Kord, a business industrialist in the DC universe that is also the superhero Blue Beetle.
Well, that was his earthquake machine, wasn't it?
I think the earthquake machine may have been a Kord product as well. Of course, the name check of Ra's al Ghul, which was beautiful, which makes me believe they're really setting up with the League of Assassins.
League of Assassins!
And everything that's going on with
music
that.
Too.
They're setting it up for season 3. Where I'm hoping they'll bring Ra's al Ghul in as the bad guy for season 3.
Mm. Okay. Well, if I don't get the Clock King, I'll go for Ra's al Ghul. How about
okay.
that?
Okay. All right. Oh, hey, that'd be cool. Yeah, you'd make a good Ra's al Ghul. Kind of creepy. Like that.
Thanks.
Yeah. and then Barry was talking to his boss on the phone, who was Director Singh, and Barry's boss in the comics is also named Singh. Now you had this note about the science showcase. Was that on the magazine he was holding?
Yeah, the magazine that he had over his head as it was raining when he first showed up. That was the name of the magazine, Science Showcase. Let's see why I wrote out down what else it said on there. It was an article about Star Labs about the about the particle collider.
Yes,
but it was Science Showcase was the name of the magazine,
and that's important because
In 1956. Showcase number 4 was the name of the comic where Barry Allen first appeared.
All right. Well, that's really cool. Wow. I am so thrilled at this episode. I mean, like we said at the beginning of the show, the anticipation for this episode was high, I think, across the entire fan community. And I've seen nothing but positive reaction to Grant Gustin and his acting ability in this episode, to all of the great things that they threw in for comic book fans, and the the fight sequences with this acolyte, this mysterious acolyte, which we will get more details on. Oh, one other thing I wanted to—I forgot to put this in the show notes, but let's talk about this really quick. I posted on our Facebook page that Stephen Amell had teased, or one of the producers might have teased this. Oliver shoots an arrow at one of these five people, and they gave a list of these five very unlikely people for Oliver to shoot an arrow at. He shoots an arrow through Roy's leg. What is up with that? Is Roy going to go off on his own?
What was that game? Skyrim? Got an arrow to the knee?
Yeah.
Is that?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know. You mean like go off on his own and start vigilantizing without his little...
Right. Well, yeah, because he mentioned that he doesn't, because I don't need you. I got other friends. That seemed really kind of callous for Oliver to just to put him down like that. Like, did he believe that Roy was going to get involved with this serum?
Like, yeah.
And, he'd rather maim him than have him potentially whatever ends up happening to him when you take the serum. Like, obviously... His past, there was the tragedy in his past was huge, if that's what he's thinking.
Yeah. Well, I think, yes. I think that Oliver really knows the dangers of this, and I think there's so much more to it with the island and possibly the League of Assassins. I mean, I think he thinks it's really, really dangerous. So, and in the show, I think Roy will probably bounce back a lot quicker than you. You would if, say, you really got an arrow through your knee.
Exactly.
I think Roy is going to be a little disheartened by it and angry, and maybe go off on his own a little bit. But at some point, they're going to have to come to terms, at least enough to call him Spee.
Yeah, that's a he's calling Gimpy right now. I can't believe I forgot to mention that previously. That was just. Whoa, because it happened so fast. I mean, the parts with Roy, everything just seemed to happen really fast. No pun intended, I guess, here. But I felt that the exposition with Barry, those scenes moved at a suitable pace. But everything else, they really crammed a lot of stuff in. But I felt that it really worked. It just took you from one thing. It didn't let you focus on anything too long and to go, well, that's really silly. I just kept being shocked. My mouth kept dropping open for any number of reasons in this episode. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, mine too. Mine too.
Well, here's to waiting a couple more days to watch Three Ghosts, and then having I can't remember if it's a 3 or 4 week break that we get, but sometime in January they come back, and we'll continue on with the show.
It's gonna be exciting.
All right, so, well, that's a lot, but that's all that we've got at this point for this week's episode of Green Justice.
And if you enjoyed this episode, wait till next week. But make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes. You can contact us by email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com or on Twitter at Green Justice Pod. And you can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Green Justice Podcast. And you can also visit thesaurus.com at a breakneck speed to find more synonyms of the word fast.
And make sure to check our Facebook page. Josh will be posting up his Spanish translation of the Moira Malcolm Merlin scene. And you can all critique his Spanish. So if you like this show, you can also check out the other podcast that we do called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is also available at randomchatter.com. Should be the same place that you're getting this fine podcast. And, of course, if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us, because it's the only way we're going to grow and get any bigger. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed the city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.